In Monterey, California, where the street known as Cannery Row meets the railroad tracks, stands a bronze bust of a local hero. He's not a soldier or a politician, but an early marine ecologist by the name of Ed Ricketts. The bust depicts a handsome bearded man holding a starfish. Thanks to novelist John Steinbeck, you might recognize the man as Doc from Cannery Row. He was the lovable intellectual who ran a lab amid the foul-smelling strip of sardine canneries and honky-tonks. John Huston narrated the 1983 movie.
Over the years, Doc became a pillar of the community and its fountain of science and philosophy. He had friends he didn't even know about, and some he would never forget.
55 years after his death, the real Doc, Ed Ricketts, is remembered in a new biography and on the much-visited Cannery Row. From Monterey, NPR's Renee Montaigne reports.
Cannery Row has been a tourist spot for a half century now. No more the sounds of millions of sardines slapping down chutes from boats into canneries. Flora Wood's whorehouse has been torn down, and all the hobos have gone to heaven. But back in the 1930s, when the place called Cannery Row really was a cannery row, the shouting and hustling on the street would have mingled with Bach's Art of the Fugue wafting down from Ed Ricketts' lab. The lab was a weathered wooden building squeezed between two enormous canneries. There, Ed Ricketts stored the specimens he sold to school labs, frogs and cats and the tiny marine creatures he collected during hours spent in the tide pools off Monterey. By the time John Steinbeck met him in 1930, Ed Ricketts was more or less living in his lab, and in the company of caged snakes to the sounds of lead belly or Gregorian chant, one could enjoy jug wine, arty women, and most of all, marathon sessions of philosophizing. Steinbeck scholar Susan Schillinglaw says the young novelist was instantly hooked.
For Steinbeck, Ricketts was accepting because he just listened and tended to turn whatever people said into something that sounded brilliant. Sort of the 19th century salon or something. That sense of out of conversation grows truth and reality, and whatever ideas you have grow out of conversation.
This was Ed Ricketts' living room, and there was a little table that was in the corner.
Frank Wright is part of a group of Monterey locals who still use the old lab as a gathering place. He's one of the few people left here who actually knew Ed Ricketts. Frank Wright was a young soldier then, stationed with Ricketts in Monterey during World War II, and he remembers something beyond intellect, warmth, and good looks that set Ed Ricketts apart.
He had a quality that I might describe as animal magnetism, and I guess it was his manner combined with his looks that women found particularly attractive, and it was a similar quality that gave him male friends.
All in all, the stuff of a really great character, and who better to put the material to use than John Steinbeck?
John was a good storyteller, and he told what we call shaggy dog stories.
Ed Ricketts, Jr. came to live with his father in the lab as a teenager when his parents separated, and he often listened in on Steinbeck's tales.
John liked to giggle a lot. He got almost like a high-pitched giggle sometimes. He got really carried away with his stories, and from time to time, Dad would slap his thigh and say, "John, you're lying so much you start to believe in your own lies."
Fiction might be what Steinbeck called it. And he set about using Ed Ricketts as a character practically the day he met him. Scholars see Ricketts' characters in many of Steinbeck's novels, wise, all-seeing characters like Casey in The Grapes of Wrath and Slim in Of Mice and Men. Ed Ricketts made his first appearance in the short story The Snake, here read by Steinbeck himself.
It was almost dark when young Dr. Phillips swung his sack to his shoulder and left the tide pool. He climbed up over the rocks and squashed along the street in his rubber boots. The street lights were on by the time he arrived at his little commercial laboratory on Cannery Street of Monterey.
Sitting in the lab today, Frank Wright says none of Ed Ricketts' friends ever called him Doc. He wasn't a medical man, though it did seem that everyone came to him for help. As Frank Wright heard it, John Steinbeck picked up the name for his now famous character this way.
One time Steinbeck was visiting here and staying here in this building. And some kids came to the door, desperately poor, I might add. Ed opened the doors, called him, as they all did, Doc. Doc. we got the impetigo. Steinbeck was intrigued with the fact that Ed was being called Doc.
I can't imagine anybody would prefer the fictional character over the real man.
Katie Roger would know. She is the author of the first ever biography of Ed Ricketts, just out, called The Renaissance Man of Cannery Row. Katie Roger says it wasn't just John Steinbeck who appreciated Ed Ricketts' mind. Those who partied and swapped ideas at the lab included the young composer John Cage, the budding mythologist Joseph Campbell, and the writer Henry Miller. Ricketts often expounded upon what he called non-teleological thinking, roughly translated, live in the moment, or be here now. He viewed everything, says Katie Roger, as interrelated parts of a whole.
I think to Ed Ricketts there was no difference between a good poem, an interesting piece of music, and, you know, a sea spider.
This worldview set Ricketts apart from his peers in the world of marine biology. Steve Webster is a marine biologist at the Monterey Bay Aquarium.
Ed would have been out here on a low tide like this.
On this afternoon, we are ankle deep in a glassy world, watching creatures unfurl from fuzzy stones in shapes of purple and pale yellow.
Here we have a kind of a rusty red-looking starfish called the bat star. We have a nice open green anemone under this rock.
Ed Ricketts, says Steve Webster, was a holistic ecologist long before most people had heard the word ecology. And he was one of the first to take marine life out of strict categories and place it back into its natural habitat.
Professional biologists in California and around the world at that time were still basically systematists. They were describing things. Ed began asking the questions, in a place like this, why is that animal there instead of over here? He wanted to know how plants and animals interacted with one another, and he was well ahead of his time.
In 1939, Ed Ricketts published his elegantly written textbook called Between Pacific Tides. It's become a classic, still in print and used by marine biologists. The novel, Cannery Row, is also a reflection of Ricketts' worldview. John Steinbeck has said it should be read as if set in a tide pool, a human tide pool, teeming with life, fascinating in all its aspects. Ed Ricketts' death has become part of his legend. On this day 55 years ago, Ed was driving his battered old Buick across the railroad tracks at the end of Cannery Row when it stalled. The car was picked up on the train's cowcatcher, pushed 100 yards down the line. Ed Ricketts was 50 when he died. John Steinbeck didn't make it back from New York to say goodbye to his best friend, some say his alter ego. But in the novel Cannery Row, he left behind the most poignant of epitaphs. Doc would listen to any kind of nonsense and change it for you to a kind of wisdom. His mind had no horizon, and his sympathy had no warp. I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR News, Monterey, California.
Photographs of Ed Ricketts' lab are at npr.org.